Okay, today's daf is Pesachim Daf Yud Beis, Feishir, sponsored by Elisha Graf in my honor. We thank Elisha very much for the sponsorship, and I think he sponsored throughout the rest of the week also for in honor of me. So thank him very, very much for the whole week of sponsorships. We left off at the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph and Beis. The Gemara is discussing. The Mishnah had said on Yud Aleph and Beis, Machlokas Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and a three-way Machlokas about when these, and Reb Gamliel, about when the Zman Isra Achilas Chametz begins. So the Gemara had tried to relate this to a Mishnah Masech Sanhedrin that had to do with accepting Eidos, that when two people contradict each other in terms of the timing of the Eidos, how much of a discrepancy do we allow for in terms of them describing when the Eidos happens. So we had a Machlokas, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, where a Meir held that if one guy says it happened 3 hours into the day, the other one says it happened 5 hours into the day, then Eidusan Betela, that's already too much of a discrepancy, whereas Reb Yehuda said, no, 3 hours, 5 hours, it's only off by 2 hours, that's okay, we're going to accept that. So the Gemara is going to connect that back to our Mishnah. But first thing we're going to cover in the Daf is we're going to present both Abaye's and Rava's understanding of this Machlokas Tanaim in Sanhedrin. Why is it that we allow a discrepancy of 2 hours according to Rabbi Yehuda, but we do not allow a discrepancy of 2 hours according to Rabbi Meir? Meaning, how much of a mistake do people actually make that leads us to these conclusions of allowing this much of a discrepancy? Then the Gemara is going to explain how we can effectively have Edom verify this specific time of the event that they're testifying about, which they have to do. It's part of the Shevach HaKiros. If we always assume that people make mistakes in judging time, we're never going to be able to have them answer properly in terms of the HaKiros. We're never going to be able to catch them on anything because we assume that it's an honest mistake. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara explains how each Shita about how much of a mistake we assume people make in judging time fits into the opinions of when we must stop eating Chametz on Erev Pesach. So it finally comes back to us on Amud Beis. That's the entire daf. Rav has three ways of understanding Rav Yehuda's opinion, the last of which leads into a discussion of the accepted time for most people to eat breakfast, to eat their morning meal, but that's almost a parenthetical note at the end of the daf. The entire daf is connecting this Mishnah and Sanhedrin with our Mishnah. So we left off four lines into the wide lines. Amar Abaye. So Abaye explains as follows. This is the Machlokas, Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir in Sanhedrin, about whether when one aide says it happened in the third hour, one aide says it happened in the fifth hour, whether that's acceptable aide. So Amar Abaye, Kishatim Tzulam, L'div Rav Meir, Enodim Tov, V'lo Klum. Must be that Rav Meir holds people don't make any mistake at all. L'div Rav Yehuda, Adam Tov, Chatzi Shah. And according to Rav Yehuda, people misjudge time by up to a half an hour. L'div Rav Meir, Enodim Tov, V'lo Klum. Rav Meir holds that a person doesn't make any mistake at all. But wait a second, even Rav Meir allowed for a 1 hour discrepancy where one guy said it happened in the second hour, the other one said it happened in the third hour. Yeah, Maisa Kiava b'mepak tarti umeil tlas. The story must have happened at the exact moment where the second hour was turning to the third hour. At that exact moment, so that's when the story must have happened, and both of them were being mechavin when they were saying, when one guy said the second hour, one guy said the third hour, they were both being mechavin for the same exact moment. V'adukam r'shtayim b'sof shtayim, the one that said the second hour meant at the very, very end, the last moment of the second hour. V'adukam r'shalosh b'tchila shalosh, and the one that said the third hour must have meant at the very first moment of the third hour. So it's not really a discrepancy at all, because people don't make a mistake at all, according to Rav Meir. L'div Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda would assume Adam Tova Chatzi Shah. Ma'isek Yavo Bapal Gada Arba Hava. That a person does make a mistake by a half an hour, and therefore the story must have happened halfway through the fourth hour. V'aydekamer Shalosh, so the guy who said that it happened 3 hours into the day, in the third hour, B'sof Shalosh, was assuming that, we assume he meant at the end of the third hour, V'katoi Pagad D'Shayt L'Kamei, and he made a mistake in 1 half hour going backwards. V'aydekamer Chamesh, and the one that said that it happened in the fifth hour, B'tchilas Chamesh, he meant at the beginning of the fifth hour, V'katoi Palgad D'Shayt L'Acharei, and he made a mistake half an hour going in the other direction. But really the whole mistake is only by a half an hour. It's just both people can make a mistake simultaneously. Pnei Yeshua just asked a very simple question on this approach of Abaye. We're going to have two Lashonos within Abaye, but this approach of Abaye, that Rav Meir holds a person doesn't make a mistake at all. So what does that mean? That the entire world, the great Bekiyim in astrology and in whatever, the entire world knows the astronomical, they can look in the stars and know exactly the time, look at the sun and the position, and know exactly, mamish, to the second, to the minute, what time it was. Even the Gemara in Brachos says that even Moshe Rabbeinu and even David HaMelech didn't know how to do that, didn't know exactly how to calculate what time. The Gemara in Brachos says that for David HaMelech to wake up on time, he had a special alarm clock where the wind would blow just at a certain time every day, where it would blow the harp strings and that would wake him up. But he on his own would never be able to figure out, would never be able to mechaven exactly a moment. So how can you say that Reb Meir knew that according to Reb Meir, that everybody knows it's just stam, something that's yadua, to be mechaven a shah exactly? So the Pnei Yeshua explains it doesn't mean that everybody knows to be mechaven shahs exactly, but it means that when Edim don't know, then they should say, I don't know. If Edom claimed to know, when asked what time, they say with certainty, it was this time, then we assume they are saying that with confidence, and they therefore know. So we're talking about Edom who have stated a time, so that's the assumption, that assumption you can make about Edom who have stated a time. That was all Abaye's first lashon. Igda Amri Amar Abaye, the second understanding of Abaye is Kishin Simtzer Loma L'Divra Meir Adam Toa Mashahu, that according to a mayor, a person will be off by a Mashahu. L'Divra Yehuda Adam Toa Sha'o Mashahu, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person will be off by an hour plus a Mashahu. L'Divra Meir Adam Toa Mashahu Maisek Yava Obisov Shtayim Hava Obitchil Shalosh V'Chad Minayu Toa Mashahu. According to a mayor, a person makes a mistake of a Mashahu, so the story happened either at the end of the second hour or at the beginning of the third hour. One of them is describing it accurately, and the other one is off by a mashu. So he describes it by the other hour. The divrei Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, adam toa sha'a umashu. A person could be off by an hour plus a mashu. So ma'isak yava o besov shalosh o betchil chamish. So the story must have happened either at the end of the third hour or at the end of the fifth hour, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda says when one of them says the third hour, one of them says the fifth hour. That's okay because v'chabinai katay sha'a mashu. One of them made a mistake by an hour plus a mashu. So if it happened at the end of the third hour, the one that says the third hour was accurate, and the one that said the fifth hour was off by a shah and a mashu. If it happened at the beginning of the fifth hour, the one that said the fifth hour was accurate, the one that said the third hour was off by a shah umashu. That is the second way of understanding. That was the second version of Abaye. Now, why? What's the machlokas between the first version and the second version of Abaye? Meaning, what's the nekudas machlokas? What does the second version not like about the first version? So the Tosa Rush explains that the Ikeda Amri doesn't want to say like the first lashon of Abaye, because you have to say that according to Reb Meir, the Maisa happened at an exact moment in the first version. I mean, we have to say that it was mamish at the moment where the second hour turns to the third hour, at the exact moment that that occurs. And that is highly unlikely, that it happened mamish pumped at that moment, that was exactly when it happened. That's a Dover Rachok. And also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to say that both of them make a mistake. The only way to explain Rabbi Yehuda is that both Edom are wrong. They're both off by a Chati Shah in either direction. Whereas in the second version of Abaye, we only need to be told of the mistake in one of the Edom. And the chances of both of the Edom happen to make a mistake in opposite directions is a much lesser chance. So also Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehuda Amar L'Shmaita Kameid Rava. So Rav Huna Breid Rav Shur reported this to Rava, reported Abaye's Shita to Rava. Amar and Rava responded, Uma Ilu Daikin Abaye. He says, I don't understand. How could this possibly be the case? One guy says third hour, one guy says the fifth hour. We're going to say blindly, we accept your Eidus. If we were to ask the guy who said the third hour, what did you mean? And he would say, I meant the beginning of the third hour. And we were to ask the guy who said the fifth hour, and he were to say, I meant the end of the fifth hour, then we would know that they're contradictory Edom, and then we would know, there's no way we could accept such Edus. So we're going to make an assumption that the guy who said the third hour meant the end of the third hour, the guy who said the fifth hour meant the beginning of the fifth hour, just to make their Edus good? What do we win when we make their Edus good? You know what we win? We win killing a person, listening to their Edus, to put a person to death, to be Mechayev someone Misa. But that's against the Torah Ashkafa, V'Rachman Amr V'Shaftu Eda V'Yitzinu Eda. Torah says we should do whatever we can to not kill kill a person, to avoid killing a person. So how could it be that we're going to assume what they meant when they said the third hour and fifth hour, which part of the hour that they meant, and kill a person based on such an edus? That's against the concept of shaftu eda v'yitzilu eda, that we go out of our way to do whatever we can to save lives rather than to cost people lives. Now the Gemara Maseches Babasra Daf Nunam Beis says that the reason we always go l'nefashos l'hakel, we're always mekel on the safik nefashos. So the Gemara says that we're always mekel on the safik nefashos. The Rashbam over there explains that we learn it from shaftu eda v'tzilu eda, that we always do whatever we can to save a life. So Tosus over there says, why do I need a pasuk v'shaftu eda v'tzilu eda? Shouldn't we say misvara? There's a din by din in mamonis that we're not motzi mamon misafek, that a motzi mechaver olav harayi. You can't even take money away from somebody misafek. So somebody's life, you should be able to take away misafek. What do we even need a whole svara, a whole pasuk v'shaftu eda v'tzilu eda? It should be obvious. The tzlach raises the question over here, that why is it the Rava says you don't kill a person al pi edim that are machish, that might be machish each other, that might be or might not be contradicting each other, because the Torah says v'shaftu eda v'tzilu eda. Forget v'shaftu eda v'tzilu eda. You still can't kill him because the edim might be machish each other, so it might be you can't kill a person misafik. Meaning when you have a suffik, even without v'shaftu eda v'tzilu eda, it should be obvious that you don't kill a person misafik. So the Tzlach explains that if one guy says b'shalosh, one guy says b'chamesh, it's really a svek sveka, and it's din rov to say that the edus is kosher. Because if the ed that says b'shalosh means sov shalosh, or even if he may have meant sov shalosh, and in which case fine, and then even if the ed that said chamesh meant sov chamesh, the edus could still be kosher, because it could have been b'sov arba, and everyone's off by a shahu mashahu. And even if the ed that said shalosh means tchila shalosh, so this is the second side of the suffix, it could still be that the guy who said chamesh means tchilas chamesh, and therefore the edus would still not necessarily contradict each other, because a person could be off by a shahu mashu. So since it's a svek sveko, which is a din of rov, to say that the edus would be kosher, we need a special pasuk v'shaftu eda v'tzilu eda to dafka say we're not going to listen to this edus. That's the Tzlach's approach. Rav David Pavarsky in his shiurim, is metarits differently. He says that without v'shaftu eda v'tzilu eda, we would be machshir the edus misafik, because there's a cheskos kashrus of the edim. That to say that to disqualify the edus is to disqualify the edim. It's to say that these edim are off, that somebody's lying over here. And everybody has a cheskos kashrus. So since there's a cheskos kashrus working in favor of this edus, without v'shaftu eda v'tzilu eda, if there was any way to explain the discrepancy, we would have accepted the edus. It's only because of v'shaftu that we say no. If there's any way that the discrepancy maybe can't be explained, even if it's possible to explain it also, but there's any way that maybe it can't be explained, so then we already are going to reject the edus. So anyway, so that's what leads Rava to say back in the Gemara now, Elama Rava, Rava very different than Abaye. Abaye was working with the assumption that if there's any way to explain the discrepancy, then we're going to go with that and we're going to accept the edus. Rava's going to say the exact opposite. He's going to say if there's any way that this discrepancy, if there's any possibility that this discrepancy is not an honest mistake, if there's any such possibility, we're automatically going to reject the edus, even though it's possible to explain it also. According to a mayor, people make a mistake by just under 2 hours. According to Rabbi Yehuda, people make a mistake by just under 3 hours. Why does Rameir say that if one guy says the second hour, one guy says the third hour, we accept the edus because we assume it either happened at the beginning of the second hour or it happened at the end of the third hour, and the other guy was mistaken by just under 2 hours. And that's such a mistake is common, and therefore we have to accept such edus. But if it were any greater a discrepancy, then we would not be told that it was an honest mistake. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toha Shalosh Shalosh Chasar Mashu, person will make a mistake by up until 3 hours, Maisa Minus Mashu, Maisa Kiava Obitchil Shalosh Obisov Chamesh. So the story happened either at the beginning of the third hour or at the end of the fifth hour. When Rabbi Yehuda says, one guy says third hour, one guy says fifth hour, we accept the Eidos, we assume the story happened either at the beginning of the third hour or at the end of the fifth hour, and the other guy was off by just under 3 hours. So it was only one guy making a mistake within a reasonable amount of time that people make the mistake, and that's why we have to accept the Eidos. That's the approach of Rava in explaining the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, I forgot to mention before, when we were discussing why Rava rejects Abaye, it was all based on Veshavtu Eida, Veitzilu Eida, that if one guy says according to Rabbi Yehuda, one guy says 3 hours, one guy says third hour, one guy says fifth hour, that Rabbi Yehuda says that's acceptable. Rava says it can't be that they only make a mistake by 1 hour, and that's why it's acceptable, because it's possible that this discrepancy is a discrepancy of greater than 1 hour, and we have to rely on Veshavtu Eida Veitzilu Eida to reject such testimony. So the Tumim, Rabbi Yonah Snaibshitz just points out in Siman Lamed Sivkot Yud, a very simple Ari. He says, well, wait a second, what would be the halacha then if one guy says the third hour, one guy says the fifth hour in Dine Mamanus? I mean, Rava says if we're in Dine Nefashos, so we have the Yitzilu Eida, if the mistake were only by 1 hour, then we would have to say we'd reject this Eidos. But by Dine Mamanus, there is no Yitzilu Eida. So by Dine Mamanus, we should accept the Eidos. So the Tumim points out that this Tumim says no. When one guy says the third hour, one guy says the fifth hour, that Eidusim B'Tela is both B'dinei Nefashos and B'dinei Mamanus, because the Mishnah just says it's Stam. The Mishnah is not Mechalik between Dinei Mamanus and Dinei Nefashos. The Mishnah Sanhedrin describes Eidos in general, nothing to do with Dinei Mamanus versus Dinei Nefashos. But the Nesivus in Siman Lamed asks, based on our Gemara, from Rava to Muchach, that it's only B'dinei Nefashos, one guy says B'shaloshos Hayam, and the other one says b'chamesh eidusim b'teila, because the whole reason to say eidusim b'teila is v'shavtu eida v'tzilu eida, and by eidus mamon we don't say v'shavtu eida v'tzilu eida. So even if one guy says the third hour, one guy says the fifth hour, it should be eidusim kayemes b'dinim mamonis. The halacha should be different b'dinim mamonis. That's the basic machlokas in the achronim. So strong kasha that the Nesivus has on the Tumim. Tonight, so now the Gemara is going to try to bring a raya. Who is correct in terms of how much of a mistake people make? So, raya number one, hayibotkunos b'shevach hakiros. What we do in order to verify that the Eidim are telling the truth is we ask 7 questions that are hakiros questions. Hakiros questions are the questions that ascertain the time and the place of the event. So we ask, Be'ezo Shavua, which Shemitah cycle did it happen in? Be'ezo Shavua, meaning this could be an event that happened 20 years ago. So we want to know which Shemitah cycle this happened in. Be'ezo Shana, which year did it happen in of the Shemitah cycle? Be'ezo Chodesh, which month of the year? Be'kama B'chodesh, what day of the month? Be'ezo Yom, what day of the week was it? Be'ezo Sha'a, what hour of the day was it? And Be'ezo Makom, what place did it happen in? So Mabin Chakirus L'Bedikos, what's the difference between these kinds of questions and questions that we call Bedikos? Bedikos questions are, what color shirt was he wearing? Was it under a tree? What kind of tree was it? All of those types of questions. So Chakirus, the difference is, when it comes to the Chakirus questions, the time and place questions, if one guy says, I don't know, I don't remember what day of the week it was, so we automatically disqualify the Eidus. Bedikos, afilu shneim amar meinon yodim Eidusim kayemes. If when it comes to Bedikos questions, what color shirt was he wearing, even if both Eidim say, we simply don't know, we don't remember what color shirt he was wearing, their Eidus is still going to be valid. Why do we ask the Bedikos questions? Because if one guy says he was wearing a blue shirt and the other one says he was wearing a red shirt, I'm sure of it, so then we know that their Eidus is batal because they're contradicting each other. But if they don't contradict each other, they just say, I don't know, we're still going to accept the Eidus when it comes to Bedikos questions. And we ask, well, why is that? Maishna Chakiros or Maishna Bedikos? Why is an I don't know not acceptable for Chakiros, but it is acceptable for Bedikos? So Varmina, we say, Chakiros, Amrechamen Eni Odei Edus Metela, Tavila Eidus Shiata Yochla Zima. Because when it comes to Chakiros, if a guy says, I don't know, it makes his Eidus impossible to turn into Eidim Zomimin. We can never turn turn him into an Eid Zomim, because the whole concept of Eid Zomim is that two other Eidim come and say, at the time and place that you say this crime happened, you were with us somewhere else. But if they never verified their time and place, they said Eini Yodea, so they couldn't verify the time and place, then it's an Eidus that cannot be made into Eidim Zomim. Bedikos, Eidus Shatiyach Lazimahi. But Bedikos is Eidus that can be turned into Eidim Zomim. So now the Gemara gets to its question. If you're going to say that people make such massive mistakes, like Rava wanted to say, Rava said that according to Rameir, people make a mistake of just under 2 hours. According to Rabbi, people make a mistake of just under 3 hours. Then even if you ask what hour of the day it happened, it's still going to be Eidoshiyat Yachalazim. Even if they answer that question, it's going to be Eidoshiyat Yachalazim. Because what's the guy going to say? It happened at 9 in the morning. So Eidim are going to come and say, no, at 9 in the morning you were with us. He'll say, ah, my mistake, I was off by 2.5 hours and I'm allowed to be. It really happened, I guess, at 11:30 in the morning. So we're never going to be able to turn him into Eidim Zomim anyway if we allow such a mistake, if we allow so much of a discrepancy. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know, chinami, diavinuluhu, that we give them that window, we give them the entire window of a reasonable mistake to not become Eidim Zomim, meaning throughout that window they cannot be made into Eidim Zomim. According to Rav Meir, who says a person can make a mistake of just under 2 hours, so we give him from the beginning of the first hour until the end of the fifth hour, and really for the guy who said that it happened in the second hour of the day, we should have given him even before the first hour, because the person can make a mistake of close to 2 hours. But we assume people would not mistake daytime from nighttime, so we started at the beginning of the first hour. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we give from the beginning of the first hour to the end of the sixth hour for the two guys. One guy says the third hour, one guy says the fifth hour. And really, we should have given even a little bit earlier, because if a guy can make a mistake of close to 3 hours, and he said that it's something happened in the third hour, we should give him to before daybreak. But again, we assume people are not going to make a mistake between daytime and nighttime. And for the guy who said the fifth hour, we should really allow him even past chatzos of a mistake, but we assume that again, people don't make a mistake from between before Chatzos and after Chatzos, because the sun's positioning is totally different before Chatzos than it is after Chatzos. But the answer is one big Eino Chinami, that in order to make Eidim Zomim, we have to give a certain window to accommodate the mistake that people do make. A number of issues come up over here. Tosus raises the question of the Sheva Chakiro. So we already asked him what year it happened in, what month it happened, what date of the month. Now once you know the date, the month, and the year, so don't we already know the day of the week? Just consult your the calendar on your cell phone, you'll find the exact date of the day of the week that date fell out on. What do we accomplish when we ask Be'eze Yom? That's the kasha all of the Rishonim ask. What do we intend to accomplish when we ask Be'eze Yom? What day of the week did this occur on? So Tosos is Mitarit, and the Tosos Rush also, that since the din of Sheva Chakirus is a din Midar Raisa, so we have to make sure that the Eidim aren't machish each other, they don't contradict each other with the Chakiros, and that they don't contradict themselves. Meaning not only they don't contradict each other, there's also a din that the Eid can't contradict himself. And therefore, meaning the way Tosfos phrases the question is, what even if he gets it wrong, it's not going to matter, because kivin shehigit shuvei nechozer magid. If a guy says, let's say, I have to check my cell phone, let's say the guy says that it happened on Tuesday, on July 2nd of the year 2013, and we say, oh yeah, what day of the week was it? And he says Wednesday, instead of saying Tuesday, so it's not going to matter anyway that he said Wednesday, because once he already said his Eidus Shuvei Nechozer Magid, he doesn't have the right to say something different. So we should just ignore when he says Wednesday anyway. So why bother even asking him? So Tosfos says, no, part of the din of Chakiros is that he can't contradict himself. So if he then says Wednesday, he says the wrong day of the week, after having said the date, then we throw his Eidus out. So it's valuable in that we might catch him. We might catch him in a contradiction, and then we'll be able to throw his Eidus out. That's one answer of Tosos. Tosos also mitarets that if one of the Eidim says that the Maisa happened on the second day of the month, and the other guy says it happened on the third day of the month, that's not Eidus Mulcheshes, because we could assume that they made a mistake. We learned this yesterday. They made a mistake in the Ibur HaChodesh. One of them was ill-informed about whether the previous month was 29 days or 30 days. But if we then ask them the follow-up question, oh yeah, what day of the week was it? And one of them says Tuesday, the other one says Wednesday, then we know it wasn't an Ibur HaChodesh problem. Then we know that they're just contradicting each other. So there's value in asking them that question, as well. Rashi, Masech Sanhedrin, and the Yad Ramah, Masech Sanhedrin, are Metarits differently. They say that even if the Eidim say what day of the month it was, nevertheless, we ask them what day of the week the Maisa was, because the reason of Chakiros, of these Chakiros, is so that we could be Mazim the Eidim. The whole point is that we want to make it possible for Hazama to happen. How does Hazama typically happen? Eidim come to Beis and they start testifying. Word gets out that these guys were testifying about an event that happened at a certain date in a certain place, and we hope that someone else is going to hear about that and say, wait a second, I was with those guys somewhere else at that exact time. What jogs a person's memory is not the same for everybody. Sometimes people remember things by date. Oh, I remember exactly what happened on the second day of July because that's my birthday. Sometimes people remember that it's not my birthday, but it's going to, whatever, for whatever reason, people, it jogs their memories. And sometimes people remember things by the day of the week. So we want to get as many questions out there, not because we think we're going to catch the Eidim in a contradiction, but we think that it's going to help with the Hazama. It's going to help find the Eidim who could possibly be Mazim them. Now, so that's issue number one over here. Issue number two is, the whole idea is, in asking all these questions, because we want to be able to have Eidos, Shayat Yachal Azima. So says the Nod B'yuda, Nechuvan, Madura Kama Evan Ezer Simenun Ches. He says, the whole purpose of the Chakiros is, if one of them says, Eini Yodea, their Eidos could be Batal, because it's going to be Eidos, Shayat Yachal Azima. So what if you have Eidos where you can't do Azama anyway? What about Eidos Gitin V'Kiddushin? You have Eidos on a get. So what happens if you make Eidim on a get, Eidim Zomimin? That no, you couldn't possibly testify to that divorce at that time in that place. You were with us in a different place. So what? Now the Eidim become divorced. No, you can't do Eidus. You can't do a din of Kasher Zomim to Eidim on a get. It's like the Mishnah of the beginning of Malkus when it comes to Malkus. That when it comes to, I'm sorry, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that we give him Malkus, because we can't do Kasher Zomim. So says the Nodav Yehuda, if you can't do Kasher Zomim, so you don't need Drisha V'Chakira. For the kind of Eidus that doesn't lend itself to Kasher Zomim, do you not need Drisha V'Chakira? So Pashtus, Beis Halevi has a long mahalich in answering this question in the Tshuva, but the Pashtus is, Beis Halevi has a couple of mahalichim, Pashtus is like his second mahalich, that just because you can't do Kasher Zomim doesn't mean that we don't want to be able to make it Eidos Shatiach Lazima. Kasher Zomim is, there's one din in making them Eidim Zomim, which means we declare the Eidos Pasul, and then there's a din of doing Kasher Zomim, of doing to them what they try to do to the other person. Just because they can't do Kasher Zomim doesn't mean that we can't make them into Eidim Zomim, meaning it could be that they're still going to be Eidim Zomim, even though we're not going to be able to do Kasher Zomim. Basically, he has another approach as well, but we'll leave that out for now. Why is it that when one, in our Gemara, it's very clear that if one guy says by one of the Chakira's questions that he doesn't know, even if there were five or six Eidim in the group, Eidusim Betela, Echa Amar Echman and Yodea, the whole Eidus is Batel. It's Lav Dafka if there are two Eidim, even if it's a whole cat of Eidim that's many more people. One of them says Eini Yodea, it's Eidusim Betela. So Rashi Masech Sanhedrin Daf Mem says, because the Eidim can only become Eidim Zomim when you have a large group, when it's Yazumukulam. You have to be Mazim the entire group. So if even one of them doesn't lend itself to Hazama, Mela, the whole Eidus is gonna be Batel. So the whole Eidus becomes an Eidus Shiat Yachal Azima. Tosos, Masech Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Aleph, says that no, when one of them is found to be a Karav Apostle, Eidusan Betela, so one of them says, Eini Yodea, it's Eidusan Betela. Why does Tosos not want to say like Rashi? He says, that which the Gemara says, that Eidim only becomes Zomim when you're Mazim Kulam, that's only if before the Hazama, the Eidus was a Karav. kasher eidlus. Part of the way of establishing a kasher eidlus is through the chakiros. If you never got to that point, so then you don't have that din that you need to be mazim kulam. You only need to be mazim kulam if you got to that point where you've established everybody as a kasher eid to begin with. That's why Tosfos doesn't like the approach of Rashi. One more quick ha'ara. There is a long piece we'll discuss maybe in tonight's Tuesday night. There's a long piece in Rav Yosef Engel in Lekach Tov about the concept of siyag d'oraisa. Do we ever find, we know that the Rabbanan all the time make a siyag to the Torah, that the Rabbanan will make dinim, extra chumras, as a fence around the Torah. Do we ever find that the Torah itself makes a fence around its own dinim? Do you ever have such a thing as a siyag d'oraisa? So Rav Yosef Engel comes up with 18 examples that he could think of a siyag d'oraisa. One of them is an Avos Rabbi Nassim. The Avos Rabbi Nassim says that the reason we have a din of Tosefa Shabbos, mid'oraisa, that we have to be most of Michol al-Kodesh, is because even though there is a moment where it becomes Shabbos, where it's no longer Yom Chol, it's no longer Friday, and it becomes Shabbos, since we don't trust that people will be able to define accurately when that moment is, so there's an extra siyag to make sure that people don't continue to work and continue the Lashon of the Avos Rabbi Nassim. Makabu Kornitz, one guy's banging on his hammer, and he goes one hammer bang, you know, into Shabbos already after Shabbos started. So there's an extra fence we make Tosefa Shabbos, that there's a din that you have to add on Michal al Kodesh. Says Rav Yosef Engel, is that against this Gemara? Our Gemara says that we should have given a window that's even greater, that goes back to before daybreak, to before the day begins. But no one makes a mistake between night and daytime. No one will be off between night and daytime. Says Rav Yosef Engel, what are you talking about? It's so hard to calculate. You know how many svarim are written on the exact definition of when day begins and when day ends and when night begins? No one makes a mistake between nighttime and daytime. So very, very difficult to understand. But the Gemara seems to be working with that assumption. So if it's working with that assumption, is there really a need for a siyag d'oraisa? Normally, you'd have an Avos Rabbi Nassim against the Gemara. You say, well, what are we going to do with the Avos Rabbi Nassim? It's against the Gemara. But over here, the Gemara is very difficult to understand. That no one's going to make a mistake between daytime and nighttime is a very hard thing, a very hard concept to really understand. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Tanan, third line from the top. Rameir Omer Olchem Kol Ebesor from Tchilas Vav. Rameir says you could eat chametz throughout the entire fifth hour. We burn chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. This is where we're going to bring the Mishnah and Sanhedrin and connect it to our Mishnah now about the Zman Achilas Chametz. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Olchem Kol Dalav V'Tolun Kol Hei V'Sor from Tchilas Vav. Rabbi Yehuda says you eat chametz through 4 hours of the day on Erev Pesach. Fifth hour of the day, you don't eat chametz, but you don't have to burn it. And the sixth hour of the day, by the beginning of the sixth hour, you're supposed to burn chametz. La baye alibid rameir damarein adam tovelo klom nechel kulashis. So ask the Gemara, let's try to plug in all the shittos. According to Abaye's understanding of Rameir, in the first version of Abaye, that the person doesn't make any mistake in time. We know what the din d'oraisa is. The din d'oraisa is that you're allowed to eat up until chatzos hayom, right? So why don't we let him eat up until chatzos hayom? Let him eat the whole time, because the person doesn't make any mistake whatsoever. And even if you go with the second version of Abaye, that Abaye's understanding of Rameir is that a person makes a mashahu of a mistake. So let him eat up until close to the end of the sixth hour. Maybe not all the way through, but close to the end of the sixth hour. The most of a mistake he's going to make is a mashu anyway. And Abaye's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that a person only makes a mistake of a half hour, so let him eat until halfway through the sixth hour. And with Abaye's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, in the second version of Abaye, that a person will make a mistake of a show mashu, so let him eat until the end of the fifth hour. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say he's only allowed to eat through 4 hours of the day? Meaning, bottom line is, according to Abaye's understanding of how much of a mistake people make, we're not giving him nearly enough time to eat his chametz. We should give more time to eat chametz, and then we'd still be allowing for whatever mistakes people commonly make. So Amar Abaye, Eidus Mesura Luzrizim. Chametz L'Kol Masra. Abaye says, no, there's a big difference between Eidus and chametz. When it comes to Eidos, only Zrizim are going to tell Eidos, meaning people who are being very careful and very precise. When you go into court, you are prepared. You know that you're going to be asked. You want to make sure you pay careful attention to every single detail. When it comes to Chametz, everybody's got to figure out Chametz. That's for all of Klal Yisrael. So we assume that the mistakes can be much greater when it comes to Chametz, and therefore we have to give much more time. So that was how we plug in Abaye. What about Rava? V'Rava, libidra meir damar adam toa shtei shos chasr mashu mitchilas heilo nechel. According to Rava, we're giving too much time to eat Chametz. According to Rava's understanding of Rameir, that a person will make a mistake of up until close to 2 hours, we should have the guy stop eating Chametz at the beginning of the fifth hour. Yet Rameir says that a person could eat Chametz through the fifth hour. So what's going on? Hey Chama b'mizrach, the Zayin Chama b'marav. So it says, no, because the difference between the fifth hour and the seventh hour is very great, because in the fifth hour the sun is in the Mizrach of the sky, and in the seventh hour it's in the western part of the sky, it's in the Marav. So therefore, we don't, even though people normally make a mistake of up to 2 hours, but not between the fifth hour and the seventh hour of the day. So Yihachi b'shis nami nechel, then let him eat in the sixth hour also, because in the sixth hour also the sun has not yet crossed over the middle of the sky. So Amrav ad barav, shis yoma b'karnas sakai. In the sixth hour, sometimes it's hard to figure out the positioning of the sun. So the sixth hour we're going to give him as a mistake hour. V'rava libid Rabbi Yehuda damar adam toa gimel shos chasar mashu mitchilas dalud lo nechul. What about Rava's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that a person will make a mistake of up until 3 hours? So if that's the case, then we should not allow him to eat chametz already from the beginning of the fourth hour. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you're allowed to eat chametz through 4 hours of the day, through the entire fourth hour? We're in mistake territory already by the beginning of the fourth hour. So answers the Gemara, hey chama b'mizrach v'sheva chama b'marav v'kol shkein dalid. Even between the fifth hour and the seventh hour, we assume people are not going to make a mistake. Certainly between the fourth hour and the seventh hour, people are not going to make a mistake. Iyachi behein nami nechel. Great, so then during the fifth hour, Rabbi Yehuda should allow him to eat, because during the fifth hour, he's not going to make a mistake between the fifth hour and the seventh hour. So the Gemara has three answers. Answer number one, Tirgama Abaye Alibid Rava, Eidos Masur Lizrizim, Chametz Lekol Masur. The difference between Eidos and Chametz is, again, Eidos is something that's in the jurisdiction of Zrizim, of people who are being very careful, and Chametz is Lekol Masur. Chametz is for everybody to figure out, so we assume the mistakes are going to be much greater. Second answer, Rava Amar Lavain Utamid Rabbi Yehuda, El Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, Damarein Bir Chametz El Sreifa, V'yavol E'Rabban Sha Achaz Lukul Pa'etzim. You're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in terms of mistakes, we should allow him to eat chametz in the fifth hour as well. But the reason Rabbi Yehuda makes him stop eating chametz an hour early is not because of a mistake. We make him stop eating chametz an hour early because he needs time to gather wood so that he can burn the chametz. Because this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, that ein bir chametz al sreifa. The only way to destroy chametz is by burning it, so we need to give him that extra time in order to gather the wood to be able to burn the chametz. So Isvei Ravina l'Rava, Ravina asks on that, Am Rabbi Dei Emesai shelo b'shas b'yuro, al b'shas b'yuro ash b'sasa b'kal davar. That's not always the case. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't always hold you need to burn the chametz. He only holds you need to burn the chametz shalom b'shas biuro, when it's not the time of biur. But b'shas biuro, he holds that you could destroy the chametz however you like. You don't need to burn the chametz. What does that mean? What's shas biuro? Shalom b'shas biuro. Why does it make a difference when you're destroying the chametz, whether shas biuro or not shas biuro, in terms of whether you have to burn it or destroy it in some other way? So this is a fundamental machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi writes, shalom b'shas biuro means throughout the entire sixth hour, where the chametz is still mutter min haTorah. Remember, chametz only becomes asr min haTorah chatzos hayom in Erev Pesach. So through the sixth hour of the day, it's still mutter min haTorah. That's what we call shalom b'shas biuro. Shas biuro is the beginning of the seventh hour, where it's already asr min haTorah ba'achila. So the Gemara's kasha is, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the fifth hour is asr ba'achila? Because we're giving him time to collect the wood. When he doesn't have wood, why does he need to bother himself to collect wood for an hour? There's a better solution. You know what he could do? He could just wait till the beginning of the seventh hour, the Shah Shvias, and then he could destroy it however he wants. Because once it becomes Asr Min haTorah, you just got to get rid of it. It doesn't matter how you get rid of it anymore. Just get rid of it. So he doesn't need to collect wood. Don't give him an hour to collect wood. Let him just wait till the beginning of the seventh hour, and then he'll destroy it. That is how Rashi explains. Tosfos has several kashas on Rashi, not the least of which is, what? You want to suggest that the guy should wait until the seventh hour and violate an Isser Dalraisa by leaving it around till the seventh hour and then destroy the Chametz? You can't do that. He's got a mitzvah of Tashmisu. He's got to take care of it before the seventh hour. So rather, Tosfos says, no, Shalom B'Shas B'Yuro means once it's the beginning of the seventh hour. That's called Shalom B'Shas B'Yuro because most people take care of their Chametz before then, like they are supposed to, within the first 6 hours of the day before Chametz becomes Aser. Shas B'Yuro is the sixth hour when you are supposed to be getting rid of your chametz. That's the takanas chachamim. So since the chiyuv to get rid of the chametz during the sixth hour is only midrabanan, so that's why ashpasasa b'chol davar, the rabbanan allowed to destroy it however you want during the sixth hour. It's only when it's in the seventh hour and the yisadar raisa has already kicked in that you need to do Dafka Srefa. So according to Tosfos, the kasha of the Gemara is, why do we have to asur chametz ba'achila in the fifth hour to give him an hour to collect wood if he just does his job, if he just does what he's supposed to do and destroys the chametz in the sixth hour, he won't need wood. He'll be able to destroy it however he wants to destroy it. So he won't need to collect firewood. That's how Tosfos understands the Gemara's kasha. Either way, the Gemara has some sort of kasha on this idea that we give him the extra hour to collect the wood. So therefore, the Gemara suggests Ella Amar Rava Gzeru Mishum Yoma Meunan. We give him this extra hour for a cloudy day. That even though normally people would make a mistake up until a certain point and no further, and therefore he shouldn't need this extra hour. But on a cloudy day, he might need the extra hour to be able to figure out what time of day it is. Now, on the issue of giving him time to collect wood, the Tzlach raises a simple question. That if the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is that we give him the extra hour to collect wood, like that second approach, so what happens if Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos? So how do you destroy Chametz Erev Pesach Chal on Shabbos? One thing you definitely don't do is you don't burn it. So then we should invite to say now he has an extra hour to eat Chametz when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos. That's the kasha of the Tzlach. And he says, and don't tell me Eino Chinami that you do give him the extra hour to eat Chametz, because the Gemara is going to say in tomorrow's daf that Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos, we leave over two su'udos from Truma Tahora that a guy has to eat ad arba sha'os, up until 4 hours of the day. So you see that even on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda only allows up until 4 hours of the day. So why is that the case? So the Tzach says what you would expect him to say, that it's a low plug, that once we make an Isser to eat in the fifth hour, so we keep that Isser every year, whether it's Shabbos or whether it's not Shabbos. There's an interesting Ha'ara, that if the whole thing is about collecting wood, that L'chora, the reason shouldn't apply on Erev Pesach Chal B'Shabbos. So anyway, the Gemara says, Rava's answer is, that no, the reason we give the extra hour is Yom HaMu'unan, to deal with a cloudy day. So, frek the Gemara, Iachi Afilu Barba Shos Nami L'Nechol. If you're worried about a cloudy day, the guy doesn't see the sun, so then he shouldn't be allowed to eat even in the first 4 hours of the day, because you never know, it's a cloudy day. He can't tell what time it is. So the Gemara says his stomach will tell him what time it is. Amar Rav Papa Dalid Zman Su'uda L'Kolhi. The fourth hour of the day is when people eat. So since it's when people eat, they'll know when that is. People have a sense of exactly when that's happening. So his stomach will remind him what time it is. Tan Rabbanan, Shah Rishona Machal Udim, Shnia Machal Istin, Shlishas Machal Yarshin, Ravias Machal Polin, Chamishas Machal Talmid Chamim, Shishas Machal Kol Adam. So the Braisa tells us when different groups of people normally have their breakfast, when they eat their meals. But the bottom line is, we said that when do normal people eat? The sixth hour of the day. I've Amar Rav Papa Ravias Mansuda Lakaldi. But didn't Rav Papa just say that it's the fourth hour of the day? Then normal people eat, and that's why your stomach's going to remind you when it's the fourth hour of the day. So how could the Braisa say that it's sixth hour of the day? Ella Epoch. So we have to switch it around. Ravias Machal Kol Adam, Chamishas Machal Poalim, Shishas Machal Talmid Chamim. We have to switch the Braisa. The Braisa meant to say the fourth hour is when normal people eat, fifth hour is when workers eat, sixth hour is when Talmidei Chachamim eat. Mikan ve'il chazarachav l'chemos. And after that, it's a waste of time or even damaging 2 days in Rashi to eat if you haven't eaten breakfast before then. Amar Abayi, lo amrel delo tav midi b'tzafa. That's only if you didn't have a little something to taste in the morning. Aval tav midi b'tzafa leslan ba. If you had a little something to taste in the morning, then it's okay to delay your first real full meal till after sheshaos. Amar Avashi, ki machlokas be'edus kach machlokas b'chametz. The same machlokas we have when it comes to edus, that same machlokas applies in chametz as well. So it says, Mar Pshita, Hainu hafta aminan. So we said, yeah, well, that's what the whole daf was about. The whole daf was about saying that the whole discussion about how much of a mistake people make in regard to edus applies to chametz as well. So what are you adding? No, what we're trying to say is that when we try to make it fit, make the two Mishnayos fit with each other, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin and the Mishnah in the Mishnah here in Pesachim, we gave various answers as to why they don't seem to fit together, but they really do fit. So you should know that's legitimate, that these aren't different versions of Rav Meir and different versions of Rabbi Yehuda. The answers that we gave are legitimate answers of how the Mishnah in Sanhedrin fits with the Mishnah in Pesachim. Amar Rav Sivi Barash, the whole mistake that people make is in terms of hours of the day. But if one guy says that something happened before Netzachama, before sunrise, and the other one says it happened after Hanetzachama, then the Eidus is going to be batel. So Pshita, says Mar, isn't that obvious? No, the Chiddush is that if one guy says it happened before sunrise, the other one says it happened during sunrise, their edus is going to be batel. So Hanami Pshita, isn't that also obvious? Again, that's something you can look in the sky and you can see very clearly. So says Maravai, no, I might have thought that if one guy says it happened before Hanetzachama and the other one says it happened during Hanetzachama, they're really saying the same thing. And I would think that the guy who said it happened during Hanetzachama really was only seeing the rays of light and wasn't seeing the actual sun over the horizon, but his eyes play tricks on him. So Kamashmul, and therefore comes to tell me, no, your eyes don't play tricks about sunrise. When you see the sun coming above the horizon, you know that the sun is above the horizon, and prior to that, you know that the sun is not yet above the horizon. So if they make a mistake in that, if the two Eidim are off in describing if it happened before, after, or during sunrise, then certainly we reject the Eidus. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up from the second line tomorrow.